What's the drama talking about you? Praise the Lord. That's still not it. Praise the Lord. So somebody is thinking, so I will not have promotion. That means I will not get the good things of life because I'm not ready to join them. You know, sometimes it may not even just be called season. It may be that you have to go out with some people in the company. But like you said, there are prices to be paid. Are you going to sell Jesus for $1 million? Or to get the next promotion? $1 million will come and go now. And there are certain things that money can do. Fine. But there are a whole lot of things that money cannot do. A whole lot of things that money cannot do. And if you get to that position, let me tell you this. Whatever you get through deceit, lies, and sin, you have to maintain it through the same path. Some people think, it's just one time. I'll just do it. I'll ask God to forgive me. Not only will you be, please, let me tap your neighbor. Suspend your phone now. Suspend your phone and be here. I've not started to preach, so you're not writing any message. So suspend your phone and be here. Thank you. You may think that, it's just a one-time thing. I'll just do it. But you don't know when, where you meet that person again. Apart from God, let's even leave God now. You say you're a Christian, you go to church, and you join them to do all kinds of things. You cheat in the place of work. You lie just because you want to be in somebody's good record. You don't know where you're going to meet that person. And you don't know what's going to happen. And the person will say, And you say you're a Christian. I think I've told you before, I was in Abuja several years back to visit a friend in one of the national hospital. As I walked inside the hospital, right there at the nursing station, the reception, was one of my classmates when we were in school. I had never seen her since we left school until that day. Of course, we embraced, we greeted, and all of that. And without me saying a word, she started selling all the nurses there. Ha! Kemi has given her life to Christ. When we used to go to party, she was not joining us. She used to talk to us about Christ. I was just standing there. That I was not saved then. But thank God I'm saved now. It's better than never. I'm like, if I join them once in a while to do those things, she wouldn't have been able to testify about me. And you don't know. I mean, you've heard stories of somebody that will bring somebody to somebody and the person will say, so this is the person you want to bring in. This is the person you want to marry. I took her out when she was in university. Or this, you know, all kinds of things happen. But God is able to sustain you if you have the right perspective to God's word. That's, you know, it's just a matter of time. I was telling my husband on Friday, I can't remember what we were talking about. We were in the car. And I said, when I was a young believer, I had finished school, I had finished nursing, about to go for midwifery. I started working in Lagos. So I stayed with some people. I'm not going to give too much details because we're online and people get. And this one of my relatives, of course, they had everything going. Good clothes to wear, good shoes, right people, the wedding. One day she looked at me and said, look at the bag that you are carrying. Now some of you may not know. Abba, they used to produce some bags from Abba those days. I don't know if they still do it. She looked at him and said, see the bag that you are carrying. Is this what your mates are carrying? We should have introduced you to somebody that will take care of you. And, we said this is the person you want to follow. Referring to my husband. If I say it the way she said it in Yoruba, you will fall off your chair. Ishele etong beba kiribia jeri diofa. That's the one you want to. Do you think this one would? And I said, some years back, later, with that same person, we were visiting, and she saw a bag that was carrying. And she was like, I like this, your bag. Where did you get it? Blah, blah. I'm sure she didn't remember that time. But I remembered that this is the same person that you messed up. You abused for carrying a bad bag. Now you are seeing good bag. Do you understand? Your life is your life. And if you give in to pressures, you'll be the one to face the consequences of the pressure that you give in to. Not those people. They are not around me now. But if I allow them to derail my life, if I listen to their own counsel, if I followed their whole lifestyle, I will not be where I am today. Because it would just have been like Esau. Bible says, for the temporary pleasure, he sold his birthright. In Hebrews chapter 12, Bible says, don't let us be like Esau. What's it temporary? Oh, I'm hungry. I need money now. I need promotion now. I need to get to that post now. I need to have that money for what? He was so hungry. Yes, we must be real. It can be depressing for you to see your mates running ahead of you in life. Hello, can we be real? Yes, you are a single person. You have not married. And all your mates have married. And you help them carry their children. Thoughts will come to you. You are a young guy. And just because you are not going to join them to do whatever they are doing, you feel left behind. But it's temporary. I can assure you. When you follow God with the whole of your heart, when you follow God's word and you determine to honor God in your life, he will honor you. That's, I can assure you that I can guarantee that under God. That if you follow God with all of your heart, God says, those who honor me, I will honor. You will never honor God and go back in shame. It's not God that you have followed. If you say you follow God and your life ends in shame, it's not God that you have followed. Maybe you have followed tradition. Maybe you have followed religion. Maybe you are just going. But if you follow God, he never disappoints. It may look as if it's shame, but glory is going to come out of it. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't know the pressure that you're going through. There will be pressure. Yes, there are pressures. And the truth is, that pressure is not only for now. There will be pressure throughout your lifetime. There are just some pressure for certain season. Sometimes as a young person who is, you're not married, pressure to sleep around as a young man. Pressure to get into pornography. Pressure to do whatever every other person is doing. But it's temporary. If you give in to that, it's going to cut short the future that God has for you. 1 Samuel. I don't know if I will still go with what I plan to talk about, but let's see how far we can go. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we have the story of the two sons of Eli. The two sons of Eli were priests in the land, and they were doing whatever they like. They determined to live the way they like. God warned them. Their father tried to warn them. And they refused. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, take a look at something there. I want you to see it. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look at verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel. and how they lay with women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They were taking offering anyhow. They were sleeping with the girls, thinking that, oh, yes, it feels so good. You know, Bible talks about pleasure of sin. Have you ever seen that in your Bible? Have you ever seen that in your Bible? Okay, let's take a look. I will show you. In Hebrews. Hold that one. In Hebrews chapter 11. There's pleasure in sin. There's pleasure in having money and spending money and buying all that you want to buy and wearing the latest and using the latest. But I hope that the latest today becomes old fashion tomorrow. That's the truth. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Talking about men and women. Look at verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. That's his parents. But verse 21 says, but by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's a price. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? It's like for Dangote's son or daughter to get saved tomorrow and say, no, I don't want to associate with that lifestyle, with that family again. Pharaoh was the biggest in the land. He was the king in the land. And he grew up as a child of Pharaoh. He was raised right there in the palace. He had all the privileges. He had all the opportunities. He was raised like a son of Pharaoh. But the Bible says, when he became of age, when he realized who he was, his very roots, he connected with his true identity that I don't belong here. I don't belong here. My real identity is with these people of God, even though they look as if they are helpless, they are hopeless, and there's no future with them. But that's where I belong. Bible says, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Next verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He had that choice to make, and he chose the other. And that's why we still talk about Moses today. Can you imagine how God used him to deliver millions of people? Even when he was about 80 years old, that was when the ministry really started. But Bible says he had to make that choice. After I gave my life to Christ, before I gave my life to Christ, I knew that Jesus and sin did not go together. I knew that. And as a matter of fact, when I was in secondary school, that was one of the reasons I didn't respond to the message of the gospel. I felt that, oh, and what was I doing then? Not even serious. I was not even a cause. I would not call myself a cause sinner or a serious sinner. But I just knew that to go with Jesus and to be living in sin, lie, cheat, take mommy's money, you know, those, I knew it wouldn't go together. But as soon as I rededicated my life to Christ, got saved, it wasn't a matter. I knew I had to cut. That's what happened to Moses. He refused. When you're still doing one leg in, one leg out, it's because you have not known who you are. You don't know who you are. You have not realized your identity in Christ. Or you are not working with your identity in Christ. So you think it is better. You think worldly lusts, worldly temptations, to do this and to do that, to drink there, to smoke that, to use drug, to go on internet and do all sorts of things. You will enjoy. But Bible says it is a passing pleasure. Give it to us in NLT. Choosing rather, he chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. When you say something is passing or fleeting, that means it's not permanent. It's not permanent. It's not a pleasure that is permanent. It's not a pleasure that promotes godliness. It's not a pleasure that promotes you as a person. Yes, you enjoy it. And what next? And in the process of cheating on yourself, you get entrenched. You get into bondage. It becomes addictive. All those kind of things. Addictive lifestyle that you know you can't break away from. But you can break away from it. Just choose. Bible says if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you. If you confess and forsake and choose. If you say you cannot help yourself, that's not the truth. That's not the whole truth about it. Hey, I can't help it. I just have to cheat in my office. I just have to join them to drink. I know a man in this city. In his place of work. He would say, hey, because he wanted position. He was going around with unbelievers. And he'll come around and say, if I go with my boss to party and my boss is offered wine or alcoholic drinks, I didn't have a choice. That's a lie. But do you know why he didn't have a choice? He wanted position by all means. He wanted to have what the bosses were having. But in the process, he lost his family. Lost his wife, lost his children. I learned that he married somebody else. And that one too started having problems with him. So sin does not pay anybody. The temptation. You know what Peter said? First Peter. Let's just continue in this with this drama. Are you enjoying this? Are you enjoying it? Is it enlightening? Praise God. It's not pleasurable. That's it. I mean, when you see your friends, when you see them do what they are doing, and it looks as if, I could have done this. But then, when you know who you are, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse. Okay. Verse 13. He says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? He said, there's no harm that can come to you if you are followers of what is good. That was the question. But he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. That's from the mouth of God. He said, even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, I'm not going to join them to do evil. I'm not going to join them to do corruption in Nigeria. I'm not going to join friends who are doing this and that I know as a child of God, they are not right. I'm not going to join cults because I want money or because I want promotion. I'm not going to do that. He says, even if you suffer, and what do you suffer? You suffer your friends that will, you know, say, okay, and Jassy. And they are Jassy and Jassy L. He said, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. That's God talking to you. Say, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look at. In chapter 2, there's a certain word I'm looking for. Talking about if you just make sure that you don't suffer for the wrong thing. All right, chapter 4. He said, therefore, Christ suffered for us in the flesh. Harm yourself also with the same mind. Do you know the humiliation that Jesus Christ went through? He was a son of God, full of power and glory and honor. But Bible says he had to lay those things aside. He didn't come in the fullness of who he was. Otherwise, who are those people? Who are the Pharisees and all of that? You know, as a matter of fact, there was a day that some people were messing up. And the apostle said, we can cough thunder and fire. He said, don't you know the kind of spirit that you have? When he was going through the suffering, before he was crucified, and one of the disciples brought out a sword and cut off, he said, pull back your sword. Do you think if I ask my father for legions of angels, he will not give it to me? But because he knew that that was the path to glory for you and I to be saved, he knew that was a sacrifice. He knew that was a price he had to pay. If anybody is asking for your price, do you know the answer you should give them? Do you know the real answer? And name your price. It's the blood of Jesus. That's the price for my life. That's my price. The blood of Jesus. Not dollars, not cars, not a man, not promotion. It's the blood of, that's the worth of my life. He said he suffered that. He suffered that. So whatever you have to suffer is nothing compared to the suffering that he had gone through for you. And verse 2 says, why? That he no longer should live. Okay, harm yourself also with the same mind. Now people are going to criticize you. They're going to call you all kinds of things for following Christ. Hello. If everybody, Christ said that, if everybody is smiling at you, check yourself. If your best of friends are unbelievers, smoking and womanizing and doing all kinds of things, if they are very at peace with you and they are, check yourself. You may not be doing it, or you are doing it, or they can see some sin in your life. So they identify. They know that we are in the same boat. Okon deceive our Neolong Lorok Foundation Church. But Bible says, when they persecute you, they can see that there's something about your life. So you must have that understanding. Not everybody will like you. I mean, like you, accept you because you are following Jesus Christ. They will make fun of you. They make jest of you. Say, Jesus will not look my jest. Is this Jesus? This and that, all kinds of things. But he said, have that mindset. Harm yourself with that. Be prepared for that. Arm yourself also with the same mind. Christianity is not for the weak. Oh. It's not for the timid. It's not for the timid. You've got to know what you're doing, boy. It's not for the timid. It's not for the fearful who are just, you know, flaky. And they are seasonal Christians. They are circumstantial Christians. They are submarine Christians. On Sunday morning, they come out, they lift up their hands, and by Wednesday, they are deep down under the ocean of sin. But for men and women that make up their mind, that choose rather, say, harm yourself, have the mindset that sometimes you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Sometimes you are hated for righteousness' sake. You are walking in love, and they are not working in love with you. They are looking for how to cut you in your place of work. They are looking for how to make sure that they deal with you. Show when they call you, you think you are. Why are you trying? Do you know, I've heard about people. It's not that. They are not just even comfortable that you are not going along their path. They are mad. That why should you go otherwise? Why should you go otherwise? Are you trying to make us feel that? That he no longer harm yourself with that, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, for the desires all around us, for the temptations all around us, but for the will of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to live for the will of God. I don't know about you. Because at the end of it all, is my life under God. At the end of it all, they won't be around me. Was it last week? I saw a friend, a classmate of mine that I saw 39 years ago. We finished school in 1984 together. And I did not see her until last week, Friday. Now, if she had influenced me while we were in school, if she had helped me to do ungodly things, that's how I would not have seen her in the last 39 years. But how would I have had to live with the consequence of my actions? And the truth is, you can't blame anybody. Hello? You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your friends. Because you have the will. You are not a robot. You are not a mindless being. If you have actually received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are getting to know Him, you should be able to stand on your feet and make up your mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm going to follow Jesus. A young girl in our church here had a visitation of heaven. Was talking about heaven, talking about angels. She said she had a loud voice. That the voice was so loud. Everybody, everywhere, all around the world, they heard this. It was the trumpets for the rapture. He said, "I saw Jesus. He was on a horse, and I saw angels." I have the video. Maybe I'll send it to you. Send it to your platform. Say, "I saw angels. I saw people. They were happy to be in heaven. Heaven, it was so beautiful. Heaven is beautiful. Heaven is beautiful. I mean it. Heaven is beautiful." I'm quoting her. "Heaven is so beautiful. Bigger than mansion. Bigger than Cocoa House. Bigger." She's just about 8 or 9. He said, "I tried to see God, but I just saw lights. And light. I saw angels. They were so big." He said, "But I got terrified when she saw what was happening on earth after the rapture." He said, "People were just running helter-skelter. There was just so much chaos. And people were crying. And she heard people saying, 'I wish I had listened. I wish I had accepted Jesus.'" And that girl started preaching in that video. Said, "My mommy, I want you to accept Jesus. Like my daddy and my mommy." She says she saw Jesus. She saw her parents in heaven. She said, "I saw my daddy. I saw my mommy. And guess what? She saw me." Hallelujah. She said, "I saw pastor and his wife." So, praise God. I wasn't shocked. When he said that she saw me, I would have been shocked if she said she didn't see me. Eh? But I know I'm working with Jesus. And where Jesus is, that's where I will be. So that's a settle, because I'm going to keep walking. I encourage you. I don't know what you are going through. It says, "We have spent enough of our past lives." Verse 3. "We have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles." In doing the will of the Gentiles, living our lives the way we wanted it, doing whatever we thought was okay. We have spent enough time, and you have your future ahead of you, that God wants you to spend that future in His will. It says, in His will. He said, "That time we walked in lewdness." Can you give it to us in NLT? "When we walk in lewdness," all right, see, "their immorality and their lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols." You say, "Me, I don't worship idols." You don't worship idols, do you? We don't worship idols in the 21st century. But we worship idols. I hope you know Mammon is God. Is a God. Mammon is a God. God said you cannot serve God and serve Mammon. Mammon is a God. When you compromise your faith for what money can do for you, then you are serving Him. When you compromise your faith, you choose to do certain things or not do certain things because of money, that's, you are saying, "You are my God. You are my God." Say, we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revels, drinking parties, and abominable, in regard to these things, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Say, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached. Hallelujah. Look at same chapter, chapter 4. Verse 15. Say, let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer. That's a wrong suffering. That's a wrong suffering for you as a child of God. If they punish you for stealing your office, that's not say they are persecuting me for being a Christian. No. If you don't do your work very well and they punish you, that's not persecution. That's not what we're talking about. The only reason why, because I'm the only Christian. If you are not doing your job the way you're supposed to do it and they persecute you, that's the right persecution. You deserve that. Said, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. When you get yourself involved in all of that, and there's a punishment for that, that is due you. You deserve it. But he says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glory. Glorify God in this matter. That's it. The right kind of suffering is that when they persecute you, that you are godly, that you're not going to join them. Somebody says, I'm not going to promote you in this place because you're not sleeping with me. That's the right persecution. And you're going to tell the man, no worry, I'm not going to sleep with you because this body belongs to Jesus. It's not my fault. Like I heard about a lady that the man said, I must sleep with you. I said, okay, if you sleep with me, you will die. I mean it, sir. Because I have sacrificed this body. I said, what do you mean? He said, this body has been sacrificed to somebody. Who is that person? It's to Jesus. So I can assure you, it's not that I don't want to do it, but I can't do it because I have sacrificed. I've laid down this body to Jesus. So if somebody says, hey, I'm going to sack you, if you no, or if you have to go hungry, I say, I won't give you money if you don't do this. You know, you will not wear the latest. I would rather not wear the latest. I'd rather not use the latest phone if I have to compromise my faith, if I have to deny Jesus. I'd rather. And that's a good persecution. Tell your neighbor, that's a good persecution. And Bible says you are blessed. The blessing of God is upon your life when you are going through such persecution. When you go through such persecution. Well, verse 19, this is what you can do. For if you're in such a state, such a situation, somebody is making life hard for you. Look at verse 19, 1 Peter 4. He said, therefore, everybody say, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Say, commit your soul. Thank you. That has to do with your emotions, your decisions, your thoughts. You commit it to God. You talk to God. The day Joseph ran out of the house in Potiphar's house, that was not the first time the woman was made advancements. Do you think that was the first time? That was not the first time. But Joseph must have made up his mind before that time. I'm not going to do it. She actually told the woman, I cannot, because doing this is not because I'm going to catch infection. It's not because maybe the man will find out. He said, I cannot because of God. I cannot sleep with you because of God. That would be a sin against God. He must have committed his soul to God to say, God, I don't know where this is going to take me, but I've chosen to follow you. I have chosen to honor you in my life. I have chosen to do your will. He committed his soul to God. That's why you have to, when you're going through this kind of situation, you take your Bible, you read, you pray. Commit the situation into God's hands. You know what Bible says in Matthew chapter 5? Look at verse 44. Matthew 5. Verse 44. But he said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. When you do this, you are activating God in your life and in that circumstances. It is not palatable to suffer persecution and keep quiet. That's not what God is asking you to do. I'm just going to go through the suffering. I'm just going to go through suffering. No, God is not asking you to go through the suffering for the sake of going through it. Because there's a glory that will come out of your life after going through the suffering. Are you listening to me? There's a glory that should come out of your life when you learn to commit your soul to God and you tell yourself, God, I'm going to do your will. I pray for that person. Even that person is making life difficult for me. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to seek their good. I will not do flesh for flesh. I won't do tit for tat. I'm going to do your will in this matter. And that's to love that person, to pray for them. For those who persecute you and despitefully use you, have you been there for somebody to make mess of you, ridicule you before others just because of your faith? Once they pray for them. I wonder where Potiphar's wife was when Joseph became the prime minister in the land. I wonder where she would have put her face. Even the husband that did not bother to investigate. Or maybe he did, but he still punished Joseph. There are some situations like that that you can't vindicate yourself. Nothing you say, or you go through it. But when you learn to commit your soul to the... Bible says he's a judge. He's a judge. That's the ultimate judge. And he's a judge of the whole earth. And he knows how to give to every man what they deserve. So they think, oh, they're having their way, doing whatever they're doing. But when the judgments will come, when you have chosen to honor God and commit your soul to God and say, yes, I'm going to go through this situation with God. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to sell my future, sell my inheritance for a plate of food. God knows how to honor you. And he will honor you. Bring you out of that situation. So that when you look at yourself years to come, you'll be so, so, so glad you did what you did. I told you I was about 18, 19 when I had to make the decision to follow Jesus. When I had to marry my husband. When he didn't have anything. The little that I was getting, we were sharing. But I knew that was the will of God. Persecutes me. In this town, sometimes I didn't go to church because I didn't have clothes to wear. You know, as a nurse, my shame was a bit covered because during the week, I was wearing uniform. I had uniforms to wear. So that one was not a problem. I had my white uniform to go to work. But sometimes I would look, even till I had my second child, there was a ceremony we needed to go for. Somebody was getting married in church, in the church I was going to then, Glory Time Bible Church. The person was my friend. I wanted to attend. I did not have a native dress to wear. That was 1992 or 1993. In this same town. I didn't have a single native wear. But at that time, even I learned that I'm not running anybody's race. I have my life. The only thing I could buy was adire. My cousin was making adire at that time. So I spoke to him. I said, I need adire. How much was it? And that's what I sold. It was in vogue for everybody to tie gele. Ashoke, that time. There was no ashoke I could tie on that adire. I was pregnant. I attended that. And I attended it. I remember that time I always said, don't worry. It's a matter of time. But if I had compromised, and that's one of the reasons that my husband loves me so much, because I contributed to his life as he was contributing to my life. I didn't force him. I didn't put pressure on him, because I knew that there was a price to be paid for the decision that we have made to follow God. But as we're paying the price, we also knew that there would be a day of reward, a day that God will honor us. Recently, somebody traveled. I said, please take this money and buy some things for me. I won't mention details. Buy some. He said, no, I'm not going to buy. The person came back with 5 pieces of different materials for me that I didn't have to pay. I even had the money to say, please help me buy this. And you know what I did with the money? As soon as he said, don't worry, I just knew that this money is not for me. I must give it to God. And I gave it out. Even before he brought the clothes to me, he came back and bought 5 different sets of clothes in addition to some other things without soliciting. So if I had compromised, years to come, do you think such days will come? And I was a young girl like you. My husband, a young boy like some of you. So please stick it out. Let me tell your neighbor, you're going to stick it out. You can't talk. We are going to stand the pressure. Tell yourself or tell your neighbor, I'm going to withstand the pressure. Greater is he that is in me that will empower me and energize me to go through this season without compromising or giving in to the pressure. Praise God. So no matter what you're going through, even if there are just 2 or 3, hang on them very well. Hello. That's the only thing I'll say. Don't dress shabbily. Even if you have to repeat clothes, hang on it very well. Carry yourself with dignity of a child of God. If I call Bratito for you here, there was a lady that he wanted to marry. Are you listening? Guys, let me encourage you. When he approached that lady, right in this church, not any other church, Hero Foundation, Auntie Anamachari, you know what the girl said? Me and you. You that the only thing you have in your life is one jeans. Yes. That is, do you think the only, and the truth was, Bratito was always in jeans. You know, jeans has a way of covering your not having too many trousers. So if you have to have 2 or 3 or 4 jeans, you're okay, my brother. Because you know what you are after. You know what you are pursuing in life. This is not the time now to be showcasing, trying to impress. When that lady came to report him to me, I felt sorry for him. In fact, what she said, it was like, how dare so-and-so come to me to say he wants to marry me. But that same person, if she has to talk today, I'm sure if it's possible for her to swallow all the words that she spoke against him. Because the story has changed several years ago. So don't let somebody say, just because, you know, in a relationship, I have to. The person that wants to marry you the way you are. If the person also has the correct sense. I was going to talk about 4 things that you should look for. That if you were my daughter, you were my son, the things I will look for whosoever you are dating. Because they are signals for the success of that marriage. If they are not there, something is wrong. Maybe we'll teach that another time. But that's one of the things that you look for. Humility. Maybe I should just touch on that. Humility. If you are trying to date, or if your friends or the people you are dating, they are so proud, of themselves, of their achievements, of the circles. You know, today everybody is in competition. On Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, you want to get the best. You are so conscious of yourself. You can't come down to serve anybody. That's not a good sign of a future husband or a future wife. That's a bad sign. Because when you marry somebody who is arrogant, he's going to be full of himself throughout the lifetime. But humility is one of the hallmarks of a good Christian, of a growing Christian. Somebody who has a walk with the Lord Jesus. And if you're a humble person, you won't put pressure on that other people. You will know that your life, your journey in life is personal. It's personal. Your Bible will say, when you use somebody else's clock to set your own, what will happen to your own? Hey, boy, you ba. And it's about wagwala go shise. What will happen to you though? Oh my bani. Because when I come around Shola, and Shola's clock says 1:05. I turn my own to 1:05. When I look up, if you look up now, this one says 5 minutes to one. There's already 10 minutes difference between the two. I turn it back. When I go around, I say, what's happening in that person's life? Ah, this is what they are doing. I try to. Before I know it, I lose myself. I'm totally out of shape. So live your life. Let me tell you a little bit. Live your life in Christ. You have a wonderful life in Christ Jesus. And allow the Holy Spirit to help you live it. And one of the things that's disturbing all of you more than ever before is disturbing us too. It's social media. Social media. There are some stories I don't read on social media. When I just look at the headline, I don't bother to click. I don't bother to click. Number one, it's not going to add anything to my life. Number two, it's just going to set me thinking on what I should not think about. Number three, it can invoke jealousy and envy in me. You begin to think that, God, where are you now? Where are you? See my mates. See my peers. Even people that are not even as good as I am. Who told you that? Social media. You have to be very careful. You have to be careful. Careful. And it's your responsibility. It's your phone. You are the one that applied for that app. You press on it, install. Sometimes you need to uninstall some of those things and give yourself a clean break to think through and to think well. You know, say, I cannot go off. Since you have been there, what has he added to you? And if you go off, nothing will happen to you. Nothing. They won't even know that you have left. I hope you know that. They won't even know that you have left. Zuckerberg will not miss you because there are millions of other people who are on it. And where are we getting to with all those things? But pressure, and pressures, and pressure upon pressure. For every picture you see on Instagram, do you know what those pictures must have gone through before they are posted? You don't know. When I was in Canada in the early part of this year, before I left, my daughter said, Mom, let me just, because one of our close friends is a photographer, I said, Mommy, come and take some pictures and all of that. That day I said, so this is what they go through. I'm not ready for that. I think she took hundreds of pictures within how many hours? Hundreds of pictures. Do like this, do like that. So I can't imagine having to post pictures every day. I can't even imagine every month. And those people, they are making money out of it. But are you making money out of your own? You are helping them to make money. Because every time you click, every time you watch, they are making money. And what are you making? Let's leave it there. Can we pray? I want you to just ask God to help you. Ask God to help you to be focused on the real thing, on the important things of life. Jesus Christ said there are weightier matters. Weightier matters. Weightier matters. There are weightier matters of life. Of your life, of your future. Say, God, help me to focus on the real thing, that I will not be distracted. Are you going through any persecution? Are you going through issues where you feel, oh God, what's happening? This and that. My admission has been delayed. I should have been in school now. Can you commit your soul to God at this moment? Commit your soul to God. Say, God, thank you, because I know you have plans for my life. You have purpose for my life. And I'm going to fulfill that plan, and I'm going to fulfill that purpose. Are you going through pressures at home? You know, sometimes pressure, they're not coming from outsiders, but from home. Where your parents feel, you know, why are you doing this? You should have done that, this and that and that. Can you commit your soul to God and say, God, I choose you above all the pressures, above what the others think I should be or should do. I choose to do your will. I choose to follow you. The truth that I know inside of me, I'm going to live by that truth day by day in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because I know that you are the judge of all. You are the judge of all. You are the judge of all. And you give to every man according to their works. Thank you, Father, because you are my Father. You are my side. I know you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. I know you're going to walk through with me the fire, through the water. I'm going to come out victorious. I'm going to come out as a testimony to your goodness in the land of the living. I want you to grab somebody by your side and pray for that person. Pray for that person. Bible says when Job prayed for his friends, God turned around his captivity. Bible says we should pray for one another. I want you to pray for that person. You don't know what they may be going through, but can you pray? Say, Father, for my brother, for my sister, I pray for him or her this morning, that Lord, you will strengthen them. Can you pray that God will strengthen their resolve to follow God, their resolve to do things right? God will strengthen in the name of Jesus. Ask God to strengthen them. Ask God that God will open their eyes of understanding. That God will open the eyes of understanding to see God more, to know God more in the name of the Lord Jesus. That they will know God more, they will know Him more and experience His power. Pray, open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, I join my faith with my sister. Whatever pressure, whatever persecution that they are going through now, they're coming out victorious to the glory of your name. Whatever temptation, physical or spiritual or financial or emotional, Lord, we agree together. We speak strength of Jehovah to your heart, to your soul, to your body, to your circumstances and situation in the name of Jesus. Bible said the light arises out of darkness to the righteous. I command the light of God to shine upon you, to help you come out of that situation in the name of the Lord Jesus. That the light of God will shine. You will see well. You will know well. You will know what to do. You will be encouraged to do the right thing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want you to tell yourself, I'm not going under. Tell yourself, I'm not going under this persecution. I'm not going under this situation, temptation. I'm not going under. But because I'm an overcomer, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is the Spirit of God in me than the temptation in the world, than the devil and his courts in the world. And I'm going to shine as light in my generation. Lift up your hands and just bless God. I'm going to shine as light. My life will not be an exemption. My life is not an exemption to the model, to the stories I've read about, to what God can do. I submit myself, I submit my soul to the will of God this morning. And I'm going to come out. My future is bright. I have a future in God. Tell yourself, I have a future in God. Yes, darkness may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And my joy is coming in the name of Jesus. I cannot be abandoned. I cannot be left behind, because the glory glory of the Lord is shining upon me, and I'm arising and I'm shining in my generation. I'm an example and I'm a model in my generation in the name of Jesus. I'm blessed. Call yourself, tell yourself, I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I'm a blessing to my generation and even to coming generation. I will share my testimony. I will share my testimony of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. If I have to give anything, I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Lift up your hands and give him thanks. Lift up your hands and give him thanks. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards of you. I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Say, I embrace that future. I embrace that future. I embrace that future. I embrace that future. In the name of Jesus, I embrace the future that God has for me. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And I love you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, and I will keep following you, doing your will in the name of Jesus. Thank you, dear Father. We worship you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. That was for me. Give in cohabiting is go and marry. Even if for you to go to the court, go and do it right. So sometimes, right from your household, there can be all kinds of pressure. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can overcome, you can go through and come out triumphant to the glory of God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you have, whether it relates to what I've preached or not, if you have questions, we are just going to do that. But can we have the choir?